Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined again by Hashibai.
Hello.
And today, our special guest is someone that's been here before, but he's working on some new stuff now, Steven Siciliano.
Hi.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about today?
Sure. So I'm going to be talking about logic apps, which are a great way to run your own application's logic up in the cloud by leveraging any different APIs that are published by third parties.
Great. Now, you may have noticed that we haven't actually been here for a while. Cloud Cover hasn't had its regular schedule that we were used to. We're going to get back into that, so expect to see Cloud Cover coming back just every week like it's supposed to be. So we're not going to do any news this week. We're just going to jump right into the presentation.
Great, thanks. So this is the Azure portal, and hopefully if you're an avid watcher of Cloud Cover, you've seen this before. If not, you may notice it's very metro-y, very fast. But I can come in here, and I can just create a logic app by clicking on the plus new button on the top left there. And it gives me all the different things that I can create. So as a part of web and mobile, for example, I could create a website, or I could create a mobile backend, or an API app. And I can also create a logic app.
Now, logic apps are part of something we announced a little while back before Build called App Service. We haven't really talked about that a lot on Cloud Cover yet. Can you just kind of give us a really quick explanation of what that is?
Sure. So the idea with App Service is we wanted to bring together all the things that you needed to build an application, be it one that runs in the cloud or one that runs on a mobile device, into a single offering. And what's great about that is all the different pieces, they interact together really well. And it's you pay once for all the different things that you run. Mm-hmm. So you'll see when I do this, I'm going to put it to an existing App Service, so that way I don't have to pay more for every app that I create.
So a good example of this would be, if I'm not wrong, whereas kind of in the old mentality, you could create a mobile service and you could create an Azure website, and you could have them working together as far as connecting the same database, but they were built separately and it wasn't exactly the easiest thing in the world, whereas this is just going to make that a lot easier and a lot more, it'll make more sense.
Yep, exactly. So not only does it build together, but also one of the problems with the old model is there was some functionality that was available to some pieces and not others.
Mm-hmm.
So now, by having a common platform, anything that's possible to do with a web app, you can also do with a mobile app or an API app. It's the same underlying infrastructure for everything.
Great.
And actually, saying of the integration, let's say you have a mobile service and a website. What are the new channels that allow them to integrate each other now?
Yeah, so it's not so much about those two integrating together, it's about both of them being able to use common things underneath. So for example, with app service environments, you can actually put your mobile apps or your web apps or your API apps into a hosted service that you can even attach to like a VNet that you run in your own on-premises data center.
Mm-hmm.
And by having this all be a part of app service together, we kind of get all of that functionality at once. Whereas before, you might have to attach, your mobile app to one thing and your web app to another thing. Now it's all in one environment.
Okay. So the benefits is more like the manageability, how you manage the whole solution as the whole unit.
Yep, it's manageability and exposing kind of features uniformly for everything rather than turning it on piecemeal for each individual component.
Great.
Okay.
Let's go.
Cool. Yeah. So for creating a logic app, when I do this, I'm going to have to give it a name, obviously. So I think what I'll show here is a simple archive tweets logic app. So I'm going to archive all of the tweets about logic apps to my Dropbox.
Okay.
So when I do it, I'll just say archive tweets. And then here's the app service that I was talking about. So in this case, I've already created one for demo purposes. I could create a new one if I wanted, and I could choose what its pricing tier was, how much I wanted to pay for it, what region I wanted to host it in. If I wanted to run this in Europe, I could. You can kind of do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to choose an existing one, so that way I don't have to pay more money. And then I can click on Create. And so what this is going to go off and do is this is going to go off and create the logic app inside of this app service plan. And in this app service, I've already gone and I've created a whole bunch of APIs that we're going to leverage. So inside this, I can see here's the resource group that actually contains all of these different components.
Mm-hmm.
And you see I actually have already deployed 11 API apps. The API app is what encapsulates all of the logic for connecting off to different services. So if you have a connection, for example, to Dropbox that you want to do, or a connection to Twitter, the API app describes exactly how that works, and it also handles key things like authentication, and it describes all of the metadata that you need to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So here, my logic app was successfully created, so I can just come back to the start board and wait for this to load up. And you see here, now what we have here, this is the page that describes all the things I need to manage my Logic app. So with the Logic app, what you can do is you can obviously run it, you can edit it, you could delete it if you wanted. And you can also see, for example, the full history of the Logic app. So we haven't done anything yet, so there's nothing here. Mm-hmm. But once we build it, we'll actually see all those executions. So I can just come here and click Edit. And when I open up Edit, this is going to open a visual designer that we've constructed. So this should make it really easy for people to kind of bring in logic from many different places and put them into a common surface. So the first thing that you do with a Logic app is you give it a trigger. So basically you say, I want this to run every hour, or maybe I want this to run manually, or I want this to run when some webhook happens out in the cloud. So you can do any of those. For simple purposes, though, I'll just start with a recurring trigger that runs once every minute. So whenever you click on one of these things on the right-hand side, it'll drop on a card here. So you can see here I can configure the different values of the card. So I just want this to run every minute. And I click the check mark. And then I need to add the actual steps that will execute the logic. So what we're going to do is we're going to go off and we're going to search Twitter. And when I click on this, the first thing it's going to ask me is it's going to ask me to authenticate that which Twitter account I want to use. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I can click the authorize button, and this uses OAuth. So it's going to open up an OAuth dialog. And you can see here, I'm already signed in with my Twitter account, so it's just asking me to click authorize. And what this does is this gives Logic Apps permissions to call the Twitter API on my behalf.
Right.
Then it's going to load up all the different operations that we can do for Twitter. So you can see here, you can get my user timeline or somebody else's user timeline. We could actually do a tweet if I just wanted to tweet something interesting. But in this case, I'm just going to click on search tweets to find tweets about Logic Apps.
Now, all these different pieces that you can pull in, including the Twitter one, is that stuff you had to build, or do we have some pre-built stuff in there for people?
Yep, so we actually have a whole set of pre-built ones that you can use. So in this case, these are ones that I've already deployed into my subscription. But you can see here, this is the full gallery that we have. So you could talk to Service Bus. You could use a number of BizTalk services that we've published here. So I don't know if you worked at all with BizTalk before.
It's been a long time, but I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. So for BizTalk, for example, what you can do is you can do XML transformations, XML validations. You can do rules on top of data. So mm-hmm. It's a great way to kind of process maybe orders from a backend system. So we have a whole bunch of services around those, or Box, or even like on-prem services like MQ or Informix, the IBM services. So a whole gallery here that you can choose from. And we also allow you to publish your own API apps. So what I've done, I'll come back to this in a little bit, but I've actually created my own API that I can use as part of Logic App.
Okay.
So you can do that as well. But for the Twitter connector, I'm just going to search for Logic Apps. And you can see here, this is the inputs that this operation takes. Every operation will take some different sets of inputs. So when I drop on the Dropbox one, you'll see it'll ask me not for a query, but maybe for the folder. So now I can add the Dropbox connector. And this will load up. And just like for Twitter, I need to authorize it so it can talk to my Dropbox. And I already signed in a different tab, so it already authorizes me. And just as before, it shows me a list of operations. So I'm just going to upload a file, and the file will contain the contents of the tweet. So let's see what this operation takes. So upload file requires a file path. So I'll just call this my tweet.txt. And then here, I need to say what the content of the file is going to be. So we have this control right here that allows you to pick from any of the outputs of the previous steps.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, for example, I could choose the tweet text. But if I wanted more, you can even type in this text box. So I could be like, say, was tweeted by. And then I can also drop in the person who tweeted it.
Great.
So you can kind of combine together many different fields from different actions and put them into a single place.
Great.
So I can click the check mark. And then all I need to do after this goes, I can just click Save. And this will be uploaded, and this new Logic app will now start running every minute, mm-hmm. and it will find tweets about Logic apps and put them into the file called mytweet.txt. So if I'm lucky and I come to Dropbox and refresh this, it will already be there. It's configurable. You can, depending on you see, there I go, 15 seconds ago. So I can open this, and hopefully there'll be a polite tweet about Logic apps. Oh, well, there you go. Can we get the ability to have simple code expressions in Logic apps? Well, we'll see about that.
I think they got the attention of the right person.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can see it also says was tweeted by, and then the person who tweeted it. So there we were able to. So now this is basically archiving a tweet to this file called mytweet.txt.
Great.
But, however, there is a problem with this. I don't know if you saw this, but you see how I selected the first tweet that came back.
Mm-hmm.
So this actually returns back an array of tweets.
Sure.
But this operation will just pick the last tweet. So
right.
I'm losing all of those other tweets.
Yep.
So you can actually can come back here. I can edit this action. And then I can make this repeat over a list. So that's what we have these kind of two advanced capabilities. We have repeat over a list, and we also have conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can even say, I won't show it today, but you could even say, for example, if the tweet has any retweets, add it to the add it to the file. So for repeat, I can come in here, and I'm going to click on this. You see the options are a little different, because what it's actually doing is it looks at the types of all of these outputs
right.
and only shows the ones that are appropriate for this particular input.
Okay.
So in this case, I can repeat over this, and then here I can delete this out. And now when I insert the tweet text, instead of inputting the at first, what it does is it uses a keyword we call repeat item, which is basically the one that I'm currently iterating over. And then to avoid the file being overwritten, I'm going to actually change this, and I'm going to have it be the tweet ID. So each file will be just named tweetid.txt if I can figure out how to make my mouse work.
There you go.
Yeah. Repeat item. Dot tweet ID. So you can basically type these expressions in manually, or you can use the dropdown. It's entirely up to you.
Okay.
And I can click save. And if this works, then within a minute, I should start seeing all of the tweets being populated into my Dropbox.
Now, because we were talking about earlier how, you know, with App Service, you're able to take advantage of all these capabilities that are on the platform from any of these different kind of services.
Mm-hmm.
So now, could you, let's say you built the first version,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, hey, no, I want to change it. Can you actually do versioning? So you could have, you know, this, you know, the first version running, and then test out the second version, and then once you realize that you're good, you can, you know, shut down the original.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, you can kind of deploy as many as you want. So if I wanted to deploy, you know, archive tweets v2, I could use these same connectors that I've already created.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to deploy any new connectors. I can use the same API apps, but have a new version of the Logic App definition. And I can run that, make sure it works, and then I can stop and disable the old one.
Great.
So if I come back to my Dropbox, hopefully now I'll see a whole bunch of tweets. And you can see the tweet ID is just a number.
Mm-hmm.
But I open this up, and somebody is testing Logic apps, which is exciting. So that's
cool.
Kind of the simple basic scenario.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that I can show is in CodeView, we give you the actual JSON that backs this Logic app. So a Logic app is just a JSON template that has the actions and APIs as a part of it. So in this case, you can see here's the API app that search tweets, and the query is Logic apps. What's great about this CodeView is this is built on the Visual Studio Monaco editor, so it actually has IntelliSense built in. So if I come in here and I modify this field, let's say, it actually gives me the different options that I have. So I could, you could do an HTTP type action, or you could do an API app action right inside the code editor.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. And this looks like the ARM schema.
It does.
Can you just include everything into the overall Azure template?
So this actually came from Azure Resource Manager. That's where Logic Apps was originally inspired by. Is there was the ARM templates, and we said, you know, it'd be cool if, in addition to deploying Azure resources, mm-hmm. we could also call into other APIs out there, not just Azure APIs. So that's the inspiration for this. This template language is a little bit different, though. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of do it either way. You could have an ARM template that contains a Logic App inside of it. Mm-hmm. You could also construct a Logic App that deploys an ARM template. But you can't have a single template that has kind of both at the same time.
I see. That's interesting.
And one of the things that one of the other things that you can do is, in addition to using these built-in connectors, you can actually construct your own API app if you want, mm-hmm. And that integrates directly with the Logic App. So what I've done for ARM, for example, is today there's no ARM connector, but I can actually constructed a API app that actually connects directly to ARM. Mm-hmm. So in this case, this is just Visual Studio up here, and I've just gone to new project new. You have to install the Azure 2.6 SDK to do this. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Visual C#, well, I don't want to close the one I'm currently open. But if you open a ASP.NET web application, hopefully this won't close my current project. Mm-hmm. You can see here the Azure API app.
Right.
So you can actually create Azure API apps directly here in Visual Studio. The other thing you can do, if you want to create an API app and Logic apps, is you can actually create even a Logic app inside of Visual Studio as well. So I can click on Azure Resource Group, and then it gives me all of the, these are actually Resource Manager templates. Mm-hmm. But I can actually create a Logic app, and that actually creates a project right in Visual Studio that I can use to edit that same JSON that I was editing here. You can actually edit that directly in VS.
Great.
And it has all of the same IntelliSense and capabilities built right in.
Very cool.
So let's just cancel. It looks like it did close my mm-hmm. other solution. Mm-hmm. So I can, I've named it very intelligently Web Application 1.
You'd never confuse that with something else?
No. I have probably 50 of them in different folders all over the place. but this, so this is the, what the actual API app looks like. And you can see here I've described metadata that indicates what all these different operations are. So for example, I want an operation called list resources. And I've actually just described as attributes on this API the description and all the parameters that it takes. So if I come back to the designer, I can click on the ARM connectors. This is, I just deployed this into my subscription. Mm-hmm. And if this loads, you'll actually be able to see those exact same operations and capabilities inside the Logic App Designer here. So let's see. I obviously need to optimize my performance a little. But so you can see here, here's like list resources. And you can even click that and see list resources in your subscription. And that's right, what I did right here.
So essentially what you could do then is you could basically use a Logic App to actually perform whatever logic across the actual items in your own Azure subscription.
Yep. So that's what this API app would allow you to do if I actually publish this to the gallery. For me, right now I'm the only one that can use this because
right.
I published it into my own subscription.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But anybody could go and build an API app. So if you have any APIs out there that you want to consume, this took me about a day just to write up, and it's pretty straightforward. One of the cool things about this is there's actually a MVP that created a library that makes it even easier to build these. So like this metadata tag actually comes from a NuGet called T-Rex that an MVP created for Logic Apps mm-hmm. that allows you to kind of populate these attributes automatically.
And is that NuGet, is that open source somewhere that people can go
yeah, get it's out right on GitHub as
All
well.
Right, great, we'll make sure we include a link to that underneath the video.
Great. Cool. And the other cool thing about API apps is you can even test them out very simply as well. So the API app creates something called Swagger. And the Swagger is that API definition that you use to describe all of this stuff.
Would you say it's similar to kind of what the WSDL used to be with
yes,
web services?
It's very, very similar to WSDL. There's a lot of there's WSDL, there's WADL, there's RAML, there's all these different standards. Swagger is just the one that that we landed on. It's all JSON based, but Swagger is, this is a tool that actually shows me, again, those list of operations that I have inside of this API, and I can actually use this to test out. So I can go to like /resources, and I can actually make the call directly against the API just from this UI. So I can come in and I can see, here are all the resources that I have in my Azure subscription. Right in line, it shows me the parameters, so I could filter this, I could do like, you know, or Microsoft.web/sites, that's the name of websites. So now it will actually filter the response to just show me websites in my subscription.
Very cool. And this is this interface is just built for you automatically when you deploy an API app.
That's exactly right.
Very cool.
So yeah, so it's one of those great capabilities. And then these fields, these map identically to the set of fields that you'll actually use once you deploy it inside of the Logic Apps Designer. Mm-hmm. So if this actually loads up, you'll see those, there's like those four fields there. See, resource group, resource type. So the exact same fields that we have here, you can now use them just from the ones that I developed here on my local box.
Awesome.
Cool. This kind of demonstrated how you can pull in your own Logic Apps. And there is one other thing that I can show, and that is you can actually kick off Logic Apps from really any endpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So this runs on a recurring schedule, right? But one of the other things that I may want to do is I may have my own web or mobile app that kicks off a Logic App when somebody, say, clicks a button.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just created a simple web page here, which is running locally on my box. And what this does is this actually kicks off a Logic App that I've ran inside of my subscription. And what it does is it fires off a text message using the Twilio API app.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just open this up and look at this.
So the code behind of your web application, when you click that button, that's using the Twilio library to send a text message.
So not quite. What it's doing is, actually, I can show you the source here. What it actually does is it runs a Logic App. And the Logic App has a step that calls Twilio.
Okay.
So it's kind of a layer of indirection.
Right.
And what's useful about that layer of indirection is I could then come in here and I could add another step.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to call Twilio and send an email,
you could do that.
I can modify that using the Logic App here,
right.
And the source code of my application never has to change.
Right. So how do you actually trigger from...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. So I have it open in Visual Studio here. And you can see that it's just a single AJAX call to kick off the Logic App. So I have the URL of the Logic App.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually get that right from the Azure portal here. It's just this URL right here.
Okay.
And then it's a post to do a post action on that Logic App. You have to pass it an authorization header that just has a key. You actually can get that key from the settings
right
there. And then you can pass it anything from your context that you want. So in this case, I have a text box on my page here, and I can actually put something in the text box, you know, whatever. And then I click that, and that will actually go, and that fires off the Logic App. And you see there, I got a text message that says flags.
Okay.
So what it does, it actually took that parameter and it sent it up here, and then I reference. You see, I can reference that parameter here in the actual text message that I sent out.
And now, basically, in order to get this to work from the Logic App side, you know, you have the URL, and that's just an endpoint that's there. And then to basically make that a trigger, you add this HTTP, receiver or whatever,
yep.
And that's what basically kind of glues those pieces together.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you could actually use the HTTP connector as well if you wanted to send a response back here. So you see, in this, I'm just outputting kind of the JSON that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So normally, it's an asynchronous operation. So you kick it off, and then it kind of runs, and it doesn't respond with anything.
Sure.
But you can actually define a response that way if you want to say, like, yes, it was approved.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually do that in your app as well.
Very cool. So now, can you go back and show me the list of kind of connectors you can use as kind of like the initial point?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So let's scroll over. I should use touch more. You know,
yeah, wow. So it seems like there's a lot of options here, and if this is almost, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, some of the stuff you can do with web jobs, for example,
mm-hmm.
you could do here just in a, you know, a little more designy, you know, this kind of, yeah. and see the whole flow as opposed to just looking at the code base for it, right?
Absolutely. So we actually have a WebJobs connector right here. And what's great about WebJobs is they give you a nice kind of isolated, componentized way to run code.
Mm-hmm.
And WebJobs do have some native connectors or not really connectors, but native triggers built in.
Mm-hmm.
So from a web job, you can, for example, trigger it based on like an HTTP, or you can also trigger it based on a blob, I think on a queue,
yep.
right? But that isn't super extensible, because now if you want to trigger it based on something appearing in Dropbox or something appearing in Twitter, you couldn't do that using kind of the native web job
right.
functionality. But what's great is you can actually wire up a trigger, say a Twitter trigger or a Dropbox trigger, and you can use that to call your web job.
Sure.
So the web job is kind of the place that you can write your custom code,
mm-hmm.
and then you can use the Logic app to trigger it and to kick it off whenever you want right. to execute it.
Very cool. So where can we send people if they want to know more about Logic apps, how to write them, how
sure.
to create
so,
them?
Sure. So if we go to the Azure documentation page, let's see. There's a section that's all about Logic apps.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's also a section all about App Service if you want to read about that as well.
Which I'd recommend you do.
Yes, absolutely. So you click on App Service, and then we have some tutorials right here. So you can create a web app or an API app or a Logic app, and you can click the Start Tutorial. And this tutorial may look familiar to you if you've actually been paying attention, because it's the same thing that I literally just did, the Dropbox Twitter archive
okay.
scenario. But we do also have you know some more advanced tutorials if you're interested here, and we talk about management and monitoring. Oh, that was one other thing that I wanted to show is you can actually click on the runs and you can see the full history of all of the operations. So here, for example, in that first blade shows all the times you've executed. You can actually see the inputs and outputs of all of those operations.
Very cool.
As well.
Very cool.
Azure.com has all of the great documentation. There also, we did a session at Build and Ignite that goes into a bit more detail about how some of this stuff works. And that's all in Channel 9, so you can...
Great. We'll link off to those at the bottom as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. So do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out
yes.
to you as well?
Yes. It's ISCSUS.
Got to give us one of these.
Yes.
Perfect. We'll get that put right in there. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming out and showing us Logic apps. I didn't know how easy it was to put those together. That's very, very cool to see.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And everybody out there, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you. Thanks.